Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take Newsletter, which is a free newsletter for anyone who'd like to receive it, as well as this podcast. You can subscribe to it on any of the podcast services out there. I'm a broker here at Daniels, work with farmers, spec traders. We trade all the markets, broker assisted, online, with a great hybrid service. If you want to know more about us and our newsletters, research, trading, feel free to go to turnerstake.com on the spec side. And if you're in the farm and the ag industry, go to turnerstakeag.com. All right. All my contact information is in the show notes and on those websites. So, macro economy. Latest news out of U.S. and China is going to lower or reduce the amount of products that they are tariffing for the United States. Market's viewing that positively. It is a very small step in the right direction, which is better than what it has been. So we think markets took that positively for the grain markets, and the stock market's taken that as a positive. I've seen gold come down. I've seen the bonds come down. So that is where we are now, and they are going to be gearing up for talk soon, United States and China. So hopefully we can make a little bit of a headway. I think most of the traders and analysts out there think nothing's going to happen between now and the election, but you never know. Maybe someone caves first here, so we'll just have to see what's going on. Far as economies go, I think China has been have slowing growth. I think they're concerned about that. You are seeing businesses leave China. So there is a faction within the Communist Party in China to get things going again. Also, on the United States side, we added only about, I think it was about 135,000 jobs. That was lower than expected from the last report. I think the President Trump, he came out and said interest rates should be 0%, or the Fed should be helping out everyone. That's not going to happen, but I think if the economy does turn south, you know, you can say that now, and then if they don't reduce interest rates, you can turn to everyone and say, hey, listen, I told the Fed to do this, and they didn't, so it's probably a little bit of an out for him, though the latest polls show that over 50% of Americans would blame the president if we went into recession, so I don't think that'll help him a whole lot. Goldman Sachs came out yesterday, said they think that a recession could happen within the next calendar year. Maybe they give it a 25 to 30% chance. They still like owning stocks, which kind of makes sense. I know it sounds a little counterintuitive, but you know, with the stock market, it's really not a representative of the economy. It's really representative of the largest companies and how, which are, by the way, like multinational, international companies. And you know, their job is to cut costs and maximize profit in good times and bad. So you can have the stock market go up on earnings through a recession just because of cost cutting and streamlining processes and mergers and stuff like that. Meanwhile, the economy is not doing well. So, but if there was a recession, that everyone I'm reading is saying is there'd be a shallow recession, more of a slow growth recession. Again, the odds are still low of that, but that is what's been circling around in the financial press lately. So, you've got the U.S.-China trade talks all of a sudden are happening again. You know, we're seeing the jobs numbers a little bit weaker. We're seeing the president call out for Fed interest rate coming down, and all that kind of points to me is, you know, maybe some of the higher ups at, you know, these big at these nations like China, United States, around the world, maybe are seeing these risks too now. Maybe they're trying to get to the table. So that's really just my first take on that. So I would assume going forward, I wouldn't be surprised if stocks made a run at their highs. I would think gold stabilizes here just because of the current outlook with the global economy. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Fed the dollar to stay strong too, just because of the current macro economy. Not a bullish or rosy scenario for commodities, but that doesn't mean we can't rally. So let's take a look quickly at the grains. Tomorrow is the WASDE report. September WASDE typically isn't a huge report. I think it's the October report that can get more traction. But you know, this has definitely been a strange grain year. So I think the market is looking for corn acres to come down three. Corn yield to come down 3 bushels, soybeans 1 or 2. They are looking for production cuts. Nothing huge. I think the bulls, supply bulls, are even looking for greater production cuts, but I don't think anyone's going to be expecting that on tomorrow. What will be interesting in October, November, and then January is what happens with harvested acres, especially on the corn side. I'd be surprised if it's at 82. That's the one that, I mean, I can see yields staying around the same. We're not coming down as much, but I can see harvested acres coming down. The thing is, that's a story that doesn't develop right now. That's a story that developed later. And also with with the markets, what some of the bulls were hoping for was a frost risk, and we're just not seeing any real risk of frost in the 10 to 14 forecasts. And when you look at the longer-term forecast, you're not seeing any real risk of frost over the next month. So I'm not saying it can't happen, and all you need is really one period to do damage. And the odds are, you know, you're going to see frost at some point, just, you know, obviously, but how early or late in the year is it going to happen, and how much it could damage on the corn. So it was interesting to see good to excellent ratings come down 3% for corn on Monday night. Went from 58% good to excellent to 55% good to excellent. That was surprising. And for some of the trade, I'm not that surprised. You know, we're getting into the point of the year where they're making the observations and they're looking at the plant and they're not developing the way they should be by now. And that's probably causing some alarm bells going off. I think Illinois was the biggest one hit yesterday, and some of the early yields we're hearing from Illinois are not, on average, not great for the early stuff. Now, sometimes there's the general rule, like, you know, you harvest the earliest stuff you harvest, usually harvesting that because it's not that great. If it were in better condition or doing better, you'd let it sit out there. So there is some of that to be expected. We'll continue to listen to what the yield reports are coming in and see if they continue to be a little bit worse than expected. If there is going to be a rally in corn, I wouldn't be surprised if we had some kind of post-harvest rally in corn and in soybeans, for that matter. I'm expecting it to be in this time between, you know, tomorrow's WASDE and, you know, mid to late October. So we're entering that period. We're entering the period now of when we tend to seasonally see those rallies. For the short-term traders out there, or the farmers looking to buy back some grain, I would use low-risk ways of doing it. I like options, calls, call spreads, future spreads. More importantly, though, especially for the farmers out there, I think you got to use these rallies to price something in 20 and 21, and try to get all sold with 19, or as best you can. Not everyone knows what they're going to have, but you know, we're 50% sold in 2019, and usually we hold at least a quarter, if not half, heading into the next year, and we'll probably do the same. But if we get a nice rally in the September, early October, we may get rid of another 25% and just only hold 25% of old crop, for the next marketing year, and then really just focus on 20 and 21. You know, prices over 4 for corn are probably going to be pretty good. You know, we've always said over the past 5 years that, you know, the market gives you a chance to market corn at $4 at some point. It's giving you that chance right now for 20 and 21, and it's a far way out, and you're not going to do a lot, but it does make sense to start putting some kind of flag in the ground, because when you look at the projected acres, where I look at my projected acres and a trend line yield and demand that isn't that great, it's not a bullish situation. And the only way to get really bullish is to have another, you know, to have a year where we're losing acres and losing yield. And if that doesn't happen, that's going to be an issue. And here we are over $4 in a lot of these deferred contracts. So something to really keep in mind going forward. if you're for the farmers out there, or the long-term position traders too. Soybeans, again, wouldn't be surprised if we're making a seasonal bottom here too. A lot of the soybeans are not looking great. They are way late. I'll tell you, the biggest takeaway I had on Monday, after that crop progress report, there was 5 to 6 million acres of soybeans that had not started podding yet, have not set pods. That's, I mean, let's just call it 5 million acres times, let's say 48. I mean, that's, okay, let's just under 250 million bushels. I mean, if we're at 600 million right now, and you take off 250 million bushels, we're at 350. Because those are beans that are never made. 350 ending stocks. That's the difference between, you know, that's a dollar higher, maybe even more, in soybeans. If those, now some of those will pod, and they will produce. But just to give you an idea of the risk, like what if we end up losing 1 million or 2 million acres because of that? I'm hearing there's a lot of issues also in Illinois. And then with the corn side, I think this was as of September 8th, but not over 9 million acres of corn not reached the dough stage yet. That's not good. I mean, some of it will, maybe a lot of it will, but not all of it will. And, you know, and it's also going to have, and the stuff that does make it through, just it's too late in the year, you know, and we'll have to see, you know, what the yields are, but it could be, I can't imagine them being, you know, bumper crops. Now, that's, so we'll probably see, I mean, I was thinking about seasonal lows. Someone was asking me, you know, what could they be? You know, maybe November soybeans is 840 if we get a bearish report tomorrow or hit some roadblocks. 840, 850 for corn, it's probably 340, 350 for now. And then we'll have to see how the weather and the crops look. If things look great, or let me say, if things look as expected, let's say the USDA is right about all this, you know, then soybeans goes back into, you know, basically trades low to mid eights, and corn's in the mid threes, and next year's picture doesn't look all so great. So something just to keep in mind. Sometimes you only get a few chances to sell at really good levels. Corn, that could be the case with 20 and 21. We'll just have to see. But if you have any questions about that, you want to go over a strategy, please give me a call. That is what we're doing right now. And I'm happy to work with anyone that wants to work with us on that. So those are my thoughts on the grains. There's a couple other things. Cash prices. When you look at the freight on board prices, you know, the FOB, it is apparent that wheat, U.S. wheat, is still too expensive. I'm looking at soft red winter wheat at around $212 per metric ton. Hard red winter wheat around $208, $210. And this is in the Gulf. In the Pacific Northwest, it's a little bit cheaper, like $201, $203. But then when you start looking at Argentina wheat, I mean, when you look out for December, I mean, some of the stuff is, you know, below 200. French wheat is in the 180s. So that is a much farther way down. I mean, Russian milling wheat is 174. Ukraine's in the 180s. And here we are, you know, in the over 200 per metric ton. So that's not good for wheat, and that's not great for corn either. Because when I look at the corn prices, you know, corn down in the Gulf for about in the 160s, low 160s, per metric ton, and Argentina's in the 140s, Brazil's in the 150s. So U.S. corn at these prices is not the cheapest. It's still Argentina and Brazil. So that's not, that really is not great either. Soybeans are a little bit more interesting though. You know, Gulf soybeans for U.S. were at in the mid 330s per metric ton, and Argentina's 340. Brazil's like 360, I want to say. What that's telling me is Brazil's pretty much getting close to sold out, or everything is really just going to China, and they can charge China more because of the tariffs here. Argentina soybeans are higher than us, but there's a deal just, I think today or yesterday, where, I think it was today, China said, okay, we will import Argentina soybean meal, soy meal, which they haven't been wanting to do for a while. I mean, I think China and Argentina have been talking about 2 decades now about, you know, China importing Argentina soybean meal. Never done it. And the reason why is China wants that, the bean. They want the raw soybean, and then they're going to crush it because it promotes their crush industry. If they buy it from Argentina, you know, it doesn't do their crush, Chinese crushing energy, industry any good. But what it goes to show me is that there's really no more beans, or they're running low on beans in Brazil. And, you know, China needs the beans, and if they're going to need the beans, they'll go to, they'll actually buy the meal, which is not what they really, which is not what they want to do, but it's either, it sounds like Brazil's running out, you buy the meal directly from Argentina, or maybe you go down to another country and say, hey, buy some U.S. beans, and they'll buy them directly for you. There's been some theories about that, which, you know, might be, you know, what's going on with Mexico, why they're buying so many soybeans, and maybe they are. Maybe Mexico is buying beans, and eventually that's getting back to China. But it sounds like even if those kind of shenanigans are going on, it's probably just in the margins, which is why, you know, which is why China is going to have to look at Argentina. It also tells me that, you know, they're just further looking for ways to not deal with the United States, which is not good in the long term for trade. So that's where we are. I hate to say it, but I've kind of got a long, medium to long term. I am bearish, and I don't want to be. In the short term, I can be bullish just because I think this weather and the yields can help. And the market's so short right now that we can see if we do get a frost risk, two, we get into the fields, the yields are worse than people think they are, which I'll think they are. I think the harvested acres are going to come down. And the funds are so short. That will be, that does have potential to have a rally here in September and October. But unless it's some like catastrophic loss, which I don't think it will be, the rallies will be capped at some point. And then I think at that point, we're going to have to, you know, really use those rallies to sell. The farmers have to basically sell 2020 and 2021 and get some sales on there. So I think that's the game plan. Let's just see what the USDA report says. I have really no interest of getting heavy on either side ahead of it. Like, I'm not letting it affect my marketing decisions. And if we're doing trades here and there, following a little momentum, or you're playing the, you know, the weather, I think that's fine. But I don't want to get heavy either way in the grain markets and this ahead of the swaths. You'd rather just see it and then make a decision from there. All right, finally, let's jump into the livestock and the energy. Live cattle looks like it is reversed on the charts. It looks, if you take a look at October or December cattle, to me, that looks like a blow-off bottom. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like the market just completely crashed, you know, over, let's see, today's Wednesday. So Thursday, Friday, and Monday, cattle market completely crashed, and then the rebound was Tuesday and today. That is my opinion. You go ahead and take a look at the chart yourself. I don't care if it's the October or December, whatever it may be. Let's see, October shows it, December shows it. They're all going to show it. I'm looking at all the charts right now. I mean, look at February. Oh man, look at April. Go ahead and take a look at April live cattle. I mean, that is starting to fill the gap now. So it's, I think that one's rebounding. What's really kind of surprised me is how weak the hog market has gotten, especially in the near term. I know we have a ton of supplies and cash prices are weak, so that's probably why October just got brought to the shed. And that October Dec future spread I liked is now back to our entry point. It has really come down. It's really come down fast. I was actually really pretty surprised about it. We'll give it a little bit more time, but if that's the price action, sometimes it just might make sense to get out of it. Again, we're close to our entry price, but the selling that came into the hog market really kind of threw me off here. I think a lot of people. And as far as crude goes, we're still bear spread, the crude market. I do think we will be kind of heading lower, because if there is a recession or a risk of a slowdown, well, the stock market has the potential to stay kind of high. You would think crude would come down and the spreads would come down too. So that is kind of a little bit of our recession risk trade that we've got on right now, which I still like a lot. I think those spreads are, if you look at Dec versus March, a chart of that, I think I think we're hitting serious resistance, and I'm just waiting for that to break down. So that's why we've been playing the markets here. I really think there's a recovery, a sizable recovery in cattle here. I'm hoping I'm right. That would be great. And then let's hope for some better news with the grain markets. One, I'd just like to see the grain markets recover. If you guys want to play the momentum, great. I'd like to see the farmers sell. And then we got to do some marketing decisions for next year. So that's how we're going to handle things going forward. Don't get too scared by the recession talks. If we do have one, it looks like right now it's not going to be a systemic risk, you know, market failure recession. It looks like just a good old-fashioned kind of slow growth, minor, you know, lower risk recession risk. And also, too, at least the U.S. and China are talking now. And I think China taking off some of those tariffs is a step in the right direction. So that is it. I will send out an email tomorrow after the WASD, Turner's Take Ag Marketing. So if you wanna know what we're thinking after the WASD, go ahead to turnerstakeag.com. If you don't already get Turner's Take Ag Marketing, you can sign up for it there. Have a great day, everyone, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.